Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today. And we're also going to talk a little bit about human design and also the gene keys. My new favorite topic, of course, is the gene keys and how it is that we are here to learn all of these different shadows, taking that shadow energy and moving it into the gift energy and creating, as the sun showed us yesterday, a revolution from the inside out. So in order to change the world, we need to change what's going on here within. And I'm not sure that I made that actually very clear yesterday because there was so much to share about that particular gene key or about that gate in your human design. But the clear version of that particular gene key or that gate is about if you want to see change in the outer world, then you can do that from within you. And that's the only way, right? You can't really make somebody be different out in the outer world. You can't make that outer world change, but you can change what you're doing within you. And as you clean up your own backyard, so to speak, then the outer world also begins to reflect that inner change to you. So I wanted to make that a little bit clearer, as I don't think we actually got, I think I inferred that yesterday, but maybe I didn't quite say that exactly right. And we were actually back in December when we were working on the astrology of 2020, one of the things that we talked about is that it's becoming very, very clear that it's people power, that what we do personally has a huge effect on what happens in that outer world. So there is no discomfort too small within you that if you changed that, if you worked on that within yourself, you would see a huge difference in the outer world, because the outer world is really just the mirror of what is going on within you. And boy, has that come home to me several times this week already. And one of the energies that we'll be talking about for today is really about this self-judgment and about how that self-judgment and the seeing of imperfection within ourselves before we ever see perfection, that creates a field of fear or shadow energy. And today we get to explore that personally in a way that we don't often get to explore. So we start out the day with the moon in Libra, right? We got into Libra yesterday after we broke the void, and that happened late in the afternoon, early in the evening for you on the East Coast. And today the moon in Libra is in an opposition to its own ruling planet, Venus, who's in Aries right now. She's trying on her Aries costume, right? She's being very bold. She's being very initiative-seeking, taking initiative in her own life, pulling herself up and expressing her true desires out there in the world through the sign of Aries, which is also a sign that opposes where the moon is today in Libra. And it may be activating that axis of love and war. And that can be something that's going on within us. And it can be also playing out in our relationships. And it was interesting to me this morning because we also have a Mercury semi-square Saturn today. And of course, Mercury's slowing down to go into retrograde this weekend. And I'm sitting here, I hear what my husband is saying in the other room. I answer him. He does not hear what I say. And he keeps blabbering on about this issue that he's seeing on the television. And I keep trying to tell him it was about the elections. They have these, you know, regional elections going on. And he kept saying, they're not showing what percentage rejected and only what percentage approved. And I kept trying to tell him, you don't need to see the rejected if you know what the percentages of the approved. And he didn't get it. We were talking on two different levels. He got caught up in a thinking pattern or a train of thought, and I wasn't able to break him out of that. I finally got up and went in there to tell him what I was trying to explain. And then he's like, oh. So this morning, today, we may have this kind of thing where we want to, I really could have just blamed him for not listening, for, you know, I could have gone inward and go, no one ever listens to me. And that could have been a real issue. Instead, it became a little bit more playful as I got to give him a math lesson about, you know, what it means when approved is 61% and there's no number there that says reject. Like how many people rejected? Well, what's left after 61 is taken out of 100. Then he got it. So today we are playing a bit with the mirror in the relationships that we're within. As well, the moon today is squaring Jupiter in Capricorn. Remember, I've told you many times, anytime the moon is moving through Aries, Cancer, or Libra, it is making a relationship. It is striking up a relationship with those planets in Capricorn. So here today, the moon in Libra is squaring the planets in Capricorn, and Jupiter just happens to be the first one in the lineup of planets that the moon will trigger. So what does it mean when the moon is in Libra? What can we expect? What should we focus on? What are our emotions showing us during this period of time? And of course, the moon in Libra takes us to our relationships and our partnerships. So the closest relationships we have in our lives, the ones that really show us the mirror of what it is that we are, who we are out in the world. So of course, then the moon in Libra brings up our partnerships, our marriage, our collaborations, the people that we work with, that are partners, perhaps in business, etc. And every time I get to the moon in Libra or anything in Libra, I always forget to bring up the three C's, right? Collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation. The three C's of Libra energy that we are all in the throes of right now through the entire day today. We have the moon in Libra, and I don't believe we have another void until tomorrow. So we don't even need to worry about the void because we're in pure Libra energy all day. Libra also rules art and beauty. So when we're thinking of the decorating of our homes or makeup or painting and arts in general, it is often a Libra function. And that is because Libra is about design, creating things from a stance of beauty, seeing the beauty in everything, and bringing out elegance and style, etc. You know, some of the most beautiful supermodels have Venus in Libra or Venus prominently in a place that is attracting Libra energy. So when we think of beauty and style and elegance, we can think Libra energy or Venus in Libra, because Venus also rules the sign of Libra. We also think of balance and justice when the moon is moving through Libra, where we are weighing opposing views without trying to come down on one side or another. There's a sense here of mediating and negotiating and trying to, you know, keep the balance in as much of harmony as we can. Equality is uppermost in our mind, and we have an instinct to fairness when we are looking at a transit of the moon through the sign of Libra. We have to watch out for a couple of things. As usual, when we're talking about a sign, we could lose ourselves, our personal selves, within relationships when the moon is moving through Libra. And that is because Libra really, as a relationship sign, is really about the other, right? So when we look at Libra and Aries in a chart, they take up the axis of the first house, and this is in a natural zodiac, not in your personal chart, perhaps, unless your chart happens to be set up that way. But it takes up the first house and the seventh house, the house of I am and the house of we are. Well, Libra is focused in the we are, where Aries energy is focused in the I am. So presumably we have a nice balance going on with Venus in Aries and the moon in Libra. But unfortunately, sometimes the negative expression holds sway no matter what's going on. So we want to make sure that we're not losing ourselves in those relationships, giving away the farm, so to speak, and then not able to really be true to our own selves. So you want to be true to yourself. You do not want to become a yes person or a no person, right? Usually Libra is a yes person, right? They're saying yes to everything. Someone needs help, they say yes. Even if they are tired or they're sick or they're unable, you know, to really get the energy up to do it. They're just sort of that way. They want to say yes to helping people. And that while that's an admirable quality, if you are giving to that extent in a deficit of your own self, then you are not in balance or harmony at all. You are actually in the negative end of things. You're out of balance, right? The scales then are tipped as opposed to being in that sort of static homeostasis, let's say, where things are staying sort of balanced. And of course, Libra is a waffling sign, waffling meaning indecisive, and that there may be periods where you have indecision about what direction to go, who to hang out with, what project to put your energy into. And the best advice that I have for you when that happens, or if you are a Libra, is to follow your type and strategy so that you make the best decisions, also your authority, type, strategy, and authority, so that you make the best decisions for you, right? For you. Because what is good for you is then reflected to you in those relationships. I hope that all makes sense for you. I put that graphic up this morning of the mirror and the question mark. What do you see in the mirror? Because that tells you so much about what's going on in here with you. All right, I'm going to quick switch over to Facebook here and see what kind of things are going on in everybody's world this morning. And let's say, oh, that is not where I want it to be. Still getting the hang of this thing. Here we go. Okay, so good morning, Jan Landry and Judy Wheeler and Jacqueline Lopez. And Angela, good morning. And unfortunately, again, I can only see the top four, that which is the four most recent comments. So if you checked in before, good morning to you as well. And thank you for joining me here this morning. And I just want to give out a quick reminder that on Friday, the 14th, Valentine's Day, we are going to begin our Gene Keys study group on here on Facebook. And we will do it. Well, I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do it as a live broadcast or not. Either way, it's being recorded. I don't believe I'll do it live. I think I will just do it so that we can be in the moment with one another. If I broadcast it live, then sometimes it lags, and then I really am not able to see what's going on with everybody. I have posted the link. I have posted the pages that you should read in your Gene Keys book before that time, or in order to better understand what it is that we're going to be up to. And you're invited to join us at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. East Coast time, and I believe that was 8 p.m. of European time, or what do they call that? UTC. So there's that. And good morning, Colleen. I see you out there now too. Jacqueline Lopez says, I am a Libra moon. So you are in a moon return or a lunar return, Jacqueline. We each go through that whenever the transiting moon moves across the place the moon was when you were born. It's sort of a new bump in the energy for you. I notice often for myself, when the moon moves through Virgo, which it's just now come out of Virgo, that there is often a sense of something ratcheting up in my life and something sort of coming up that I need to work through. It's almost like giving me a new beginning or a new outlook or a new possibility of what comes next. So maybe that's what's happening for you. So take a look at the degree that your moon is at. And when the transiting moon comes to that degree, that is sort of a new moon for you, a personal new moon, if you will. Okay, now let's take a look further at the moon this morning in that we started earlier this week looking at the moon in the gates of your human design. And this morning I noticed it on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day that was, and it caught my attention. This morning it caught my attention again because the moon today begins moving through the fear gates of the spleen. So we might all find ourselves being triggered in one way, shape, or form by the gates that the moon is transiting through and the fear or the shadow energy that it brings up for each one of us. So right now, the moon is moving through the gate 18. And the gate 18 sits, I didn't even think to pull up a chart this morning, doggone it. The Let's see if I can do it live. Ooh, wouldn't that be fun? Hold the phone. Let's see if I can do this and share my screen. I'm going to go to Jovian Archive. And they're not my favorite place to go, but they do a very good job of getting a chart for us in the moment. So let me go back to Zoom now and share my screen with you all. And I know for those of you who watch this show or listen to this show, it's hard for you to actually, you know, visualize. So I'll also do as good a job as I can of describing what it is that we are looking at so that you can follow along. Because I know far more of you listen to this in podcasts than actually make it to the live in the morning. So when we look at the human design chart, right now I'm talking about the energy at the spleen. Now, earlier in the morning, we had the moon, at the gate 18, and that would have completed an entire channel. And the gate 18 is a fear field of perfection or imperfection, such as the case may be. In its lowest expression, it is judgment. It is where we are critical of ourselves and critical of others. It is not a negative kind of criticism unless it begins to be shared with other people and it comes out as less than constructive criticism. But often it's turned inward. And when the moon moves through that gate, it may trigger that point in us that is hesitant to release anything new, to take new steps forward, because we may not feel like it's perfect yet. Right? There's something in us that sees an imperfection. And it is that part of us that, let's say you've written a book, and instead of actually giving that book over to the publisher or giving it to the editor, so the editor can do some, you know, looking over proofreading of your manuscript, you continually keep holding on to it, rewriting it, trying to perfect it. And ultimately, if that behavior keeps up, you never actually get the book out. Right? It never makes it to the editor. It never makes it to the publisher, and your book never gets out there to the world. So that can be just a metaphor for how that shows up in our lives in a myriad of ways. Now, since then, since early this morning, the moon has moved on over to the gate 48. And the gate 48 is also interesting. It is called the gate of depth, or in your gene keys, it is the shadow of inadequacy, the gift of resourcefulness, and the siddhi of wisdom. So we have a lot of opportunity here at this gate. If you don't normally have this gate in your chart defined, and that by defined, I mean that this would be in some way colored in your natal chart, in your natal human design chart. It could be red, it could be black like this is, it could be striped, it could be a completed channel that makes it all the way up to the throat energy. But this is really a gate where we are here to show mastery of something. So I think I've talked to you guys about this before, where this is the energy where it shifts from the book learning that we're doing, right? Or the going after a degree or a certification and reading another book or, you know, doing more study. And it transitions into the demonstrating of the skills that you have acquired, the demonstrating of your mastery out in the world. So the gate 48 fear is that you're not up to the task. You're not adequate. You haven't read enough. You haven't learned enough. You don't have enough degrees. And I crack up sometimes as I look at people's Facebook pages and I see this long list of degrees and certifications and so forth, because I know that there is this driving force going on with that person of seeking more and more knowledge in order to feel adequate to promote their work. So it can tie into a feeling a little bit of lower self-worth, that you don't feel worthy unless you have all of these degrees, that somehow that equates to experience. But that does not equate, right? Experience is when you take your knowledge and you apply it out in the world. And that leaves you open to making mistakes and to having to relearn something. But it's the route that we must take to engage mastery. So the gift here is in that wisdom, understanding wisdom here and sharing wisdom as opposed to just information that we've gleaned through the 25 different degrees we may have, or certifications, or things that we have studied. So be careful here, right? This could be a bottomless pit, especially if you have a lot of Sagittarius energy in your natal chart. You may feel often that you want to take that deep dive into all of this knowledge. You really want to be this repository of knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with that. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is wrong of you. But if it's not balanced with the expression of that and the learning that takes place in your clinical experience, if you will, then it isn't a balanced learning. And you've cut yourself off from half of what those degrees represent or what those certifications represent. Hopefully everybody's understanding that. So I just wanted to let you know too, that that gate 18 is called improving in human design, which suggests that we are always in this process of improving and that in the moment we're as good as it can get, but in the next moment we might know more. Right? Or in the next moment, we've demonstrated something and we've learned something about ourselves or about using the tools of our trade, etc. It's like if I had never gone out, and I remember falling sort of prey to this as I was demonstrating my knowledge of astrology out in the world. I literally was very hesitant to charge anybody for a reading because I felt like, ooh, I don't know enough yet. Right. And it was showing up in that way in my life where it was like, okay, I'm not sure that I'm worth you paying me money because I'm not sure that I know enough yet. And you can see how if that keeps going and going and going, that you never could reach the point at which you really feel valued and worthy of sharing your work. So be careful of this little slippery slope here today. Luckily with the moon, it's a few hours and then it's done. Right. But for a lot of us, this is something that may trigger something deeper within us in that shadow field. So it's always worth watching out for. Now, there's something else that I could bring up next with this, and that is I was going to do something different, but I want us to take a look at the gate four. The gate four. So yesterday we talked about the gate 49, which is down here on the emotional center. The gate 49 is where the sun is sitting. And remember, it was the gate of change coming from within, creating a revolution of change in the outer world by changing what's going on within you. So in other words, we can't focus on the outer world and attempt to make change out there without first moving through changes within us. And then the outer world begins to change based on what we've changed within us. And so that is the gate 49. The revolution is an inner revolution. And I thought it was interesting because the gate 49 is sort of a segue energy then to what we will eventually be studying in the Gene Keys group, which is about the gate 22, which is the inner involution that humanity is moving through, as well as the gate 55, which is where we'll likely go next, which is the evolution, what's happening in the outer that's changing, and 22, what's happening on the inner that's changing, but also 49 then being the instigator, if you will, the revolutionary, the one that dares to go out and make change. Now, every gene key has a programming partner. It's almost like they work together to bring change. And sometimes they are part of this of a channel, but often they're not. In fact, I would say more often than not, a programming partner to a gene key is not the one that's on the opposite side. So the 49's programming partner doesn't have anything to do with the 19, even though they could create a channel in a chart and create some a different energy focus. The programming partner to the sun at gate 49, creating an inner revolution, is here in the earth at gate four, up in the Ajna. And the Ajna, of course, is a center for awareness. It's where we'll say consciousness resides. And it is a place where we have awareness of facts and figures and memories and data, memory recall. It is where we think truth lies. We think and we believe truth lies in our minds. And we then identify with the mind. And this particular gate is one where we are really it's called the gate of understanding or the gene key of understanding. But what we have to understand is that it's not knowledge that is bringing us an understanding. It's the emotions that are here to bring us an understanding, right? So we have the 49 in the solar plexus or the emotional center, and it's bringing us the understanding of the emotions, not more of the learning, not more of the facts, not more of the, I need to learn more. What we need to understand more is about what's going on in our emotional body. So it's a really interesting gate. The mind here gets really tangled up with all of that emotional energy. And what it does is leads us to that shadow energy in this gate of intolerance, right? We get reactive rather than in response. And remember, reaction is the shadow of the gate 49. So these partners work together. Reaction can lead to intolerance, and intolerance leads to reaction. And you see this plainly when we react. Let's say there is some kind of a terror attack in whatever country, whatever city in the world, and its threads lead us back to maybe to Islam or radical Islam. And now suddenly the fear field of intolerance takes over, and our emotional reaction to that attack leads us to believe in and puts us in a space of intolerance over anybody who is of that religion or of that type of nationality. And it's totally erroneous, right? Not all Arab people are terrorists. Not all terrorists are Islam, peaceful, loving Islamists. So we have, think about it. It happens on every kind of level, right? It happens in other religions. It happens in other belief systems. It happens in our politics. Just look at the mess your politics are in whatever country you're in. And you see this energy of intolerance that is based on reaction rather than response. So where the shadows then of opinions and judgments and resentments lie, and they turn then into convictions and certainties, then they become delusions, a belief field that we truly believe in that isn't really true. It's all been based in, like I said, opinion or judgments or intolerances. So we have to rise up in this gate four into the energy, the gift energy of understanding. And then we have to also understand that understanding does not equal knowledge, right? Knowledge is what your mind thinks it needs to satisfy that feeling of unease that we have. So we go seeking more knowledge, right? That's tying into that inadequacy gate that the moon is at today. So knowledge cannot satisfy that. Right? We have to go out in the world. We have to move through what's going on within us in that emotional field. True understanding lies outside of the domain of the mind. It is not up here. It's down here, right? You can't see my hands, but it's down here in the solar plexus. When we reach the Siddhi, we are really reaching into Christ consciousness. And that happens through forgiveness, which is the highest expression in this gene key, forgiveness, right? Amazing, right? We could take this so much deeper, right? I could spend hours talking about any one of the gene keys for that matter, but we don't have the time for that today. I want to go back really quickly now to Facebook. Oh, I guess I should stop sharing, or did I? Yes, I did. So going back to Facebook, let's see what people are saying. Judy says, leaning towards trust, what I know from experience. Oh, absolutely. This is the experiential part of that when... Let's go back for a minute. The 48 also represents the well. In the I Ching, it is called the well. And it's the well represents what's lying deep within each one of us, the inner knowledge that we have, the inner knowing that supersedes anything that we could learn from the outer world, right? We can draw on this deep well of resources within us in any situation, but we've learned to depend more upon what's going on in the outer world, right? Going on with, and this was happening to me yesterday. I've been trying to create something for this person that is in my coaching program, and I've been struggling. I got all of the beautiful slides together, and I know exactly what I want to say, but I found myself going on different sites trying to find more and more information to put in to what it was I wanted to say about to her about this topic, and that got me so caught up because I couldn't get clear of seeking more knowledge instead of relying on what I know from deep within, which I do every morning. You know, I write notes, sure, but I couldn't do for her personally what I could do for you in the morning because I got too caught up in my head. So we could see that this happens to us all the time, right? And it causes us stress and strain within us. And we really have everything we need deep within us. We just need to reach inside and pull it out, not look for it from the outside and bring it in. So hope that helps. Kathy Miller, good morning. And oh no, poor baby. Let's see. Let's send healing energy to Kathy Miller's great-grandson. He's really ill, just stopped crying. Poor baby. Jacqueline says, oh, wow, I have Mercury 5th line and Venus 6th line at gate 49. Have to watch past 2 days. Been in the hospital with my mom. Oddly, she is a Libra sun. Oh, well, let's send much healing energy out to Jacqueline Lopez's mother. Quick healing. Libra sun, that would lead me to believe adrenal burnout or some form of autoimmune going on that's kind of undermined her her immune system. So sending much love and healing energy out to Kathy's grandson, great-grandson, and to Jacqueline's mom. And I see love and light coming up from all the listeners. I love that. I love that. I love that. Okay. So no questions about the gate 4, intolerance, understanding, or forgiveness. Trust me, I know you'll have questions, but it's okay because it's hard to formulate those questions. So what I thought I would do is take us, of course, to my favorite little book. And I want to be able to share with you, we shared the story, the wisdom story of the gate 49. Let's share the wisdom story of the gate of understanding. Look at this lovely lady. She's so precious, right? So precious. Can you tell I love people? I just love people. I love their faces. I just love everything about people. Especially when, you know, this one, she just looks like she's got some kind of wisdom that she's just waiting for us to ask the question, what do you want to share with me? So this is for the gate 4 or the gene key 4, understanding. And here it is. The gift, of course, understanding. Shadow energy is intolerance. And the siddhi, the highest expression, is forgiveness. And it says, true understanding lies outside the domain of the mind. That comes directly from the gene keys. Her wisdom story. I was born into this world with the blessing and curse of a sharp mind. You might not know this looking at me now, but when I was young, I was always working so hard to understand everything, always digging up reasons for why I felt the way I felt and why I should trust and act on my emotions, no matter how fearful, angry, or prejudiced they were. My mind was constantly chewing, explaining, justifying, and nitpicking. I became increasingly intolerant of people whose understanding seemed simple or whose worldviews were different from my own. Sometimes the arguments and counterarguments in my mind became so exhausting that the energy drained completely out of my body. During those times, beneath my seeming apathy, lived a profound insecurity. The truth was that I felt horribly anxious when I couldn't find logical answers to my questions. So in human design, by the way, the gate 4 is part of the logic circuit. So it does recall to us that we are overly logic oriented based on what we've learned in the world, based how we've been conditioned. All right. But that was at a time when thinking ruled my life. That was when I still believed that my mind was capable of fulfilling my desires, relieving my fears, and bringing me the peace and security I yearned for. It wasn't until I fully embraced life's certain uncertainty that I stopped needing to defend my viewpoint. That's when I discovered that true understanding had nothing to do with intellectual knowledge, but instead was meant to infuse the whole body and open the heart. Now, I no longer get stuck on one side of an issue or spend precious energy defending my point of view. I enjoy seeing every situation from all sides. I joyfully use the brilliance of my mind to help others reach beyond the limitations of their biases and intolerance and help them see a bigger picture. In the end, the true purpose of the mind is to bring forgiveness to the heart. Profound, right? My gift to you. When I look at you and I watch you struggling to figure out your life, form your opinions, or defend your feelings, I hold you with love and patience. I am here to invite you to use your beautiful mind to do what it's best at. Let it play, research, communicate, and serve this world of ours. Let it build bridges of compassion and help people learn how to release their biases and intolerances so that we can all see and celebrate the bigger picture. I know and trust that at some point, your hardworking mind will exhaust itself and you will break free into a new way of being where true understanding fills your belly and emanates from your heart. For now, I ask that you begin by forgiving yourself. Soon, you will no longer doubt that you and the whole wide world are so much more worthy and wonderful than what your busy mind could ever comprehend. I love it. Here are the questions for contemplation. And again, this is from the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook by Rosie Aronson, and it's part of the Oracle deck, the 64 Faces of Awakening, also by Rosie Aronson. Do you tend to overthink and nitpick or become paralyzed with indecision? You see some qualities here of the moon in Libra today as well. Are there certain things, situations, and people you feel you just have to understand or you can't relax? In what situations do you find yourself intolerant of others? Can you forgive yourself and others for closing your heart? Think of a time when you experienced true understanding or forgiveness. How can you tell when you are thinking with your heart? Reflect upon these questions in your journal. Love it. Right, so here we go. The face of wisdom, understanding, and possibly the shadow of intolerance. Love it. Forgiveness and understanding, sorry. Okay, so I'm going to go do a quick check back here, see if there's any questions about anything we've been covering this morning. Jacqueline says, I love those cards. I do too. Everybody sending love and healing energy. I just love how we engage with one another on that level. So let me now switch over to talking about the Pleiadian Earth energy. Today is 13, right? Today is the day of completion. And it is also the day of feeling. So 13 feeling, the universal energy. The 13 is the energy that all life forms are resonating with today. And then added to that is the specific Earth energy of the day, which is about feeling. In the Mayan calendar, that was the sign Muluk, was also representing water, water being emotional, leading us to emotions and the change that we see in the state of water. So 13 is the number of completion. We are at the last day of the week that began back on, I think it was February 2nd, with the energy of one self-regulating. So whenever we are coming to an end of a week in the Pleiadian Earth energy, we're not just looking at, oh, 7 days are done, or oh, 13 days are done. We're looking at the completion of a cycle in our evolution. So there's meaning here, right? There's meaning when we look in and we see that we began with self-regulating, and that self-regulating then took us to the next energy, which took us to the next energy. Self-regulating led us to catalyzing, then to enlightening, then being and breathing and listening and so on until we get to this completion state of feeling. Then we see that we are really moving through several energies during this week that are really meant to show us how it is that we are the masters of our own universe, or the mistresses of our own universe. So coming to a 13 gives us time to fully integrate all that we have learned through the previous 12 days, right? Or through this whole 13-day week. And then we return to the void to prepare for a new beginning. We return to the void, the place of no thing, right? Nothing going on there. And we begin to experience a shift in frequency. Now, the feeling energy is about exploring our emotional intelligence. What have we been talking about all morning, right? This is really so profound that these things are all falling in alignment with one another. And that, did you realize that your emotions tell you when you are out of harmony with something? That according to the Pleiadians, our emotions are purposefully designed to be uncomfortable to get our attention. And that they are signposts that show us where we are out of balance and that we need to change our opinion, our belief, or our thinking about whatever is causing our discomfort. I just find that so profound. So we have a lot to think about today. I'm actually going to leave you a little bit early this morning as I have a major project that I've got to get underway. Much love to all of you. Take care. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.